WBRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy. It's BRB UK, episode 579. I'm Dan, one of your hosts. Good evening. Well, it is for us anyway, because that's when we're recording it. I'm actually joined by two merry fellows this week. Well, one merry fellow and Tim. Hello, Tim.
Why am I not merry?
I would say you're... merry doesn't quite do you justice, I think. The
Coleman was the one being grumpy before the show.
I would describe you as the unstoppable Tim Hibbs. There we go. That's what we're going for. The unstoppable Tim Hibbs. And we have the meandering Coleman. Hello, Coleman.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Not too bad. Lovely background for our video, folks, may I just say.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is that Larry? What is Larry David doing to Elmo?
Strangling him.
Oh, nice.
Oh. Right, then. Yeah. 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 Fun times.
Oh.
Do you know what I discovered? That the cookie monster isn't allowed to eat all the cookies anymore because people are worrying that...
No, because diabetes.
Yeah. Seriously, that he's not, he has
the
to...
The diabetes monster.
He now has to... Well... I mean, there's a bit of a branding problem there, Tim, to be fair. can I introduce you to the fun diabetes monster? He's got no legs, but it's okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure he had legs to start with, to be fair.
Me not be able to feeble on knees since 1932.
Now that we've lost all our listeners with diabetes.
Wow.
Where are they gone?
Amazing. He's not allowed to eat all the cookies anymore, or he can only eat one at a time as part of a balanced diet. Because people might take Cookie Monster as their guiding star of
everything in Monster's
health.
Amount of moderation, Dan.
I know. So, yes. So it's sad times. But Larry David strangling Elmo just for being. I thought Elmo was a nice guy on the internet this week when he was like, "Hey guys, how everyone's doing?" And everyone wrote to him and said, "Yeah, Elmo, it's all a bit pants, mate." And he was like, "Oh, glad I asked.
Yeah,
you're doing
okay." All got a bit dark and gloomy.
It did. Yep.
That's the internet for you these days.
That is the internet. So I think it's the world generally. I've actually stopped looking at news. It's got to that stage. I've just stopped looking at news. It is just too terrible.
At least the
forthcoming apocalypse will be a pleasant surprise for me. you know, got to look at it that way.
But in the meantime, let's distract ourselves with video games.
Don't look up, Dan. Don't look up.
That is a great film, by the way. I do like that. Yes, I haven't played anything new because work has been an absolute plonker to me this week. But I did manage to squeeze in enough time to finish Prince of Persia. I don't know why I said Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia. Very Matt Berry.
It was. that game, wow, has a really slow start, but once it gets going, it's great, I have to say.
Oh, okay.
The plot takes some lovely twists and turns, actually. Really, a plot that appears to be held back by subpar voice acting is actually, if you can get past the voice acting, pretty good. Nice twists and turns. Not sure if I'm going to go and 100% it, to be honest with you.
Looks difficult.
Yeah, I think it's a solid, if you can find it for 20 quid, solid game. But yeah, surprisingly good towards the end. Slow beginning though, in many, many ways. Anyway, that was what I done played. That was nice and quick. Listen and learn, Tim. But I tell you what I am downloading and I'm going to talk about next week. Yep. Oh, I'm so excited. It's one of my ones to watch just because I'm mildly amused at how it actually turns out. And that is Skull and Bones the Beta. So I will be playing.
Remind me, Dan. Remind me after the show to get some pirate music on the board.
Yes.
In preparation.
What do you mean get some pirate music on the board? I'm fairly sure you have pirate music on the board already.
I don't think I do. Let me have a look.
Okay.
Arr, walk the cutlass, ye fair young maiden. Arr!
Well, I was seriously expecting you to play that you wouldn't steal a car. It's what I thought was your pirate music, but you let that.
Sail the seven seas and sit on me cutlass.
Arr, you wouldn't steal a car. Yeah.
Perfect pirate. That's really creating the atmosphere for piracy.
Yeah.
You are quite simply the worst pirate I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway, that's enough of that nonsense. So I will, presumably I'll be weeping and just questioning life in general, but after having played that next week. But it's one of my ones to watch because I thought it would be funny. So we'll see where that gets me. But there has been a bunch of awesome games that have come out. And Coleman, you weren't here last week, but you've been playing some fun games. I think we should... Tim, I'm putting you last, mate, because you had all the last week and you were talked about VR on a non-VR podcast again, and I'm very upset with you.
I'll be quick on that, but yeah.
Anyway.
I've been playing the very... I mean, so last week, to kind of give the behind the scenes, I had no bedroom because there was building works going on, and that's where I play my games and record
the podcast. Cosplaying as Harry Potter living under a stairs. Befriending strange tall beardy men. Excellent.
The setup for playing video games wasn't the best, so I got a lot of Steam Deck play. I played a lot of Power World when I should have been playing Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth and Tekken 8. But I did
or as Tim likes to call
Tekken...
it, Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth.
Infinite Wealth.
Infinite.
Yeah, it's just going to get weirder each week. But I've been playing Tekken 8. And
Lick
I've got a fair
a drug
bit of,
on.
I finally got a bit of Tekken 8 time in, not as much as I'd want because I only just got my bedroom back to normal yesterday. But Tekken 8 is here.
I'm
it's
sorry,
brilliant.
But Elmo and Larry David are in your bedroom. That doesn't look normal.
No, that's normal. That's what I've been doing for a
week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why Larry David's strangling Elmo, who's finally been pushed over the edge by Coleman's soundboard.
So I've been sourcing Jewish comedy legends and Muppets.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's where
they live now. Okay. So anyway, Tekken 8 is here. It's available on the PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. You can pick it up for, if you're on PC, $54.99. If you're on the consoles, a little bit of a hike of the prices there. $69.99. However, did get a pretty decent deal on this one. Was more to the PC pricing on PlayStation 5.
Nice.
I am playing the PlayStation 5 version. If you don't know, and I don't know how you wouldn't know, Tekken is a fighting game. A one-on-one fighter. Which I'm very happy with. Because I don't even notice. There's been a trend in fighters lately to turn them into tag fighters or assisted fighters. And
right.
It's... We have a one-on-one fighter again, which I'm very happy with. If you don't know the lore of Tekken, which I have to admit, even though I've been playing this game, my knowledge kind of falls off around Tekken 3, and then I don't know what's happening.
That's right. I'll get Brian Cox on the phone. He'll explain it away for you.
Oh, I saw the Brian Cox video. Yeah. It's not the best. It's amazing they did it, but
if you want to see what phoning it in looks like, that is what... Yeah. Just give it a watch. It's amazing.
I'm more impressed that they got him, but there was...
they must have paid him so much money.
There's been several attempts to tell the story of Tekken. We've had an anime, we've had two animes now, with the Netflix series, and we've got two live-action films that are awful, and there's several different recaps and things available online and on official and unofficial that I've tried to go through, and I've watched and rewatched and watched and played, and I just can't get past Tekken 3 with my knowledge of these games. So apologies if I can't get into the full minutiae of what's going on story wise, but basically it's the King of Iron Fist 8. There's a new tournament available, which is handy because it's Tekken 8. There's a new tournament where all the different fighters from all the parts of the world are going to get together and fight to become the King of Iron Fist, which usually results in some grand prize. That could be a cash prize. It could be becoming the head of the Mishima Zabatsu Corporation, where you will then seemingly become evil in some way and have to run your own King of the Iron Fist tournament next year.
And throw your dad in a volcano.
And your dad in a volcano, or your son off a cliff.
That's what you've got
to
do.
Or shoot your grandson, as one of the games happened. There's, or kill your grandfather. I forget. It's kind of all out. Akuma's there at one point as well. That was a bit odd. Anyway, here we are.
I've phoned the internet for help because Windows 11 updated itself, and I've got Microsoft Copilot to summarize it for me. Okay, so, once upon a polygonal time, a world where fists were mightier than keyboards, there existed a colossal martial arts tournament, the King of Iron Fist, hosted by the enigmatic Mishima Zaibatsu. The Brawl Fest promised fame, fortune, and a shiny title. The King of the Iron Fish. Fist? Fist.
King of the Iron Fish.
I've got a feeling we've just stumbled upon the episode title.
We've stumbled upon the reason why Kuma fights in these things.
Well, there we go.
He's after the fish.
He's after the fish.
It's a panda and a grizzly.
Well, but wait, there is a twist. The Mishima family drama was juicier than a ripe watermelon. Picture this. Heihachi Mishima, the grizzled CEO, rocking a comb over that defied gravity, ruled the Zaibatsu. His son, Kazuya, with a face more chiseled than the mountain peak, had a bone to pick, literally, with dear old dad. Their relationship, Rocky meets Mortal
Where
Kombat.
Where is your AI plagiarizing this stuff from? Because it's awful.
Wikipedia. There's plot twist galore, betrayals, resurrections, and more daddy issues in a daytime soap opera. The arena echoed with grunts, uppercuts, and the occasional Hadouken? Wrong game. Amidst the chaos, who'd snagged the Zaibatsu throne? Was it Heihachi, Kazuya, or perhaps the vending machine in the corner? So there we go. That is its summary.
Anyway,
it's a terrible story of this summary that wasn't worth anyone's time.
King of the Iron Fish.
King of the Iron Fish was worth it.
So the story of this one, it basically starts off with a big Dragon Ball Z looking fight. You've got Kazuya Mishima, who is the devil, or has the devil gene that can turn him into a devil.
Boom.
Which he's been doing for a while now. Fighting against his son, Jin Kazama, who also has the devil gene, but doesn't turn into a big purple devil. He has like feathery wings and a cool tribal tat on his head. And they're fighting. Jin loses, goes into retreat, and Kazuya is now evil and taking over the world and throwing a new King of Iron Fist to presumably draw out Jin Kazama.
King of Iron Fish, right.
And there's Freedom Fighters, and there's a big story mode, and it gets a little bit bonkers, and I'm not fully sure what's happening, but it's fun.
Excellent.
So that's the main part of the game. It's the story. There's also, much like the Tekken 7, the last installment, you have the main story, and then you have side stories of each characters. I have yet to do those because I want to get through the main story first and then go back and do each individual stories. They usually run about, if they're like the last game, they usually run like 2 to 5 fights and then they're done. Little storyboard type things. It's not as in-depth as the actual story mode. There's other modes as well. You've got your traditional versus, CPU, and versus against friends. You've got your arcade modes. You've got an arcade story mode, which is odd, where you have a little chibi character that you create, and it's about you going out into the world of arcade fighting, where you challenge people at Tekken, and you're trying to become the king of Tekken Fist, because you're trying it's all about esports, basically.
They had a bit of that in the demo, and I thought it didn't, I just didn't really mess around with it because it didn't look appealing to me at all. But I've heard from reviews that that mode's actually quite in-depth and quite good.
Yeah, so the interesting thing about that, because I hate all the shibby character walking around, talking, and just it's kind of like PS1 RPG, a bit boring for me at this day and age. But the annoying thing is it replaces the ranked mode, which I really, really enjoyed in Tekken 7. And it was the idea of you pick a character and then you just go up against endless enemies, and it increases your ranking and unlocks treasures, and that's how you get your money to unlock items and things to do all the customizations with your characters. But they've put this kind of slap the story mode onto it, which I really don't like. But the other stuff around it, that's great. Another mode they have is an AI fighter mode, which I do actually quite like. It still has a little bit of that shibby RPG element added to it. But all the time you're fighting against an AI opponent, and it's a way
beating
to
up ChatGPT.
No, it's a way to get you out of your zone of relying on the same moves and methods and having to change things up, because the AI will learn, figure out what you're doing, and use it against you and learn how to block everything you do. And I
don't
went,
teach
"Oh, that's a cool
idea." AI thinks,
I was like, "That's a cool idea in concept," and it's something we've been doing for a while. I mean, if you had the Amiibo with the Smash Brothers on Wii U, you could scan and fight them and train the CPU up. But this time, it's using AI learning to do that instead. And I was like, "That's a great idea in concept." By the second time, I'm puckering. I am going, "This is so hard on my second fight. I can't believe it." So I need to get better at that. The main part of this,
or
the
get
fighting.
Worse. And then it will learn to get worse.
Maybe.
And then you can beat it.
Maybe. Yeah, just
you got to throw it is what you got to do.
Yeah, you got to throw it. That's
how we. That's how you beat the AI overlords. Is you just got to pretend to be really bad at your job. Train them on that, and then
Terminator joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the main crux of the game is the fighting, as you would expect from the Tekken game. Like they've been doing this for a long time now. It is a smooth old, like the old arcade style of fighter. It's fluid. It's amazing. What they introduced last time, which I wasn't a great fan of, you could have like a little easy mode, like they do, which you could turn on and off at random, which they did with the last Street Fighter game, I believe. You hold a button, and then instead of doing combos and button inputs and things, you just like hit a button and it will do it for you.
Just rub the controller over your face and things happen.
Yeah, they kind of have it this time, but it's not like a button you hold down and you can quickly do it. It's something that you've got to actively switch on and off as you're playing the game. And it's not so much for just putting the harder things down to a button press. It's something that you use strategically to switch to and from, because there's certain things that you can do on one that you can't do on the other, and vice versa. So it's an interesting way to play that way. You still have the weird finishers, which they introduced in 7 that I've not been a fan of, but I've got used to over time.
Yeah.
And other than that, it's a Tekken-ass Tekken game, but it is gorgeous. It looks great. It plays great. I remember Rick was saying, as I was, we were playing in the same room, he was playing Persona or something. Oh, he's playing Monster Hunter, I think. And I was playing Tekken, and he kept looking over because he's going, God, that's gorgeous. I can't believe that looks so good, and it's a Tekken game. It is a big recommend from me. However, it's got the old Bandai Namco pricing, which I'm not a fan of. Not only do you have the massive difference in price when you're getting PC to PlayStation or Xbox, but also the DLC thing that I disapproved of last time is them selling key characters back to you in the form of DLC.
Does feel scummy, doesn't it?
Yeah, I rather they'd use that for new characters or guest fighters. I'm a big fan of guest fighters that they introduced last time. And this time, I hope they don't do that. And the first DLC fighter they announced was Eddie Gordo, who's been a staple fighter since Tekken 3.
Yeah. And
even in games that he's not there, he's had like a kind of palette swap character of Christine before she became her own character. So, although I think she's missing from this game, so she might be sold to me at some point as well.
Wow.
And then I heard leaks that I think it's Wei Wulong is also the second DLC fighter that's going to get sold to us. So I was like, well, they did that last time, and he's one of my favorite fighters. So that's really annoying.
So you get to play as that well-known character, Jeff from Accounts, is basically who you get to play as, and they'll merrily sell you everything else that you actually want to play. Wow.
It's that thing of the... all the roster is fully unlocked from the word go, which I don't like. I like unlocking some fighters in a way. That's like Tekken to me. But they've not been doing that since the last game. And selling original characters back to you, which I'm not a fan of. The new characters, however, they've added, I really like. They're still doing that thing that, like, one of my favorite things in video games, where you've got characters from all around the world, is they all speak in their own native tongue. And there's no explanation as to why everyone can, like, I can talk to Tim speaking Japanese, and Tim could talk back to me in Korean, and we fully understand each other. Yeah, like there's a Babel
Fish. It's Babel Fish. Yeah, Babel Fish. Yep.
I think it's Babel, like the Babel. Book of Babel.
No, Babel? That's Babel, as in the Tower of Babel.
Tower of Babel. I thought it was Babel.
No, it's Babel.
Wow.
See, you guys can't even understand each other when we're speaking the same language, but hey.
Exactly.
Tim, to be fair, we only pretend to listen to you, so it's technically the same thing.
That's fair. Right? But I really did like the presentation. Again, the bit I played in the demo, I really liked the presentation of the story mode and how they did that, and like the slight sort of flashiness that they added to how the structures of the fights work in the story mode. That was a bit different to what we've seen before as well, no? Like, does that play out from the beginning and carry on throughout the story mode in the game as well?
Yeah, pretty much. It's exactly as you just said.
Okay.
I did want to talk about the new characters, even though I can never remember any of their names. But, all the new
Jeff
characters. You've basically You've got, which one of my favorites is, you've got a Heihachi replacement. There's, but she's like a blue-haired anime girl.
Right.
But she fights in the Mishima style. So she has the electric powers and things like Heihachi did, which I find hilarious. And they kind of play her off in the story mode as you first see her. She's that kind of, you know, doing the V's and the like super happy-go-lucky anime girl. And then the little further you get into it, it's like, oh no, she's actually like a deadly assassin. And it's all a play that she's putting on. So that's kind of cool. There's another character who is an MMA fighter from Peru, and I forget her name as well, but she's like my favorite new character. Although they've gone for, okay, so here's our first character from Peru. What is her characteristics? Coffee. She likes coffee.
Nice.
She loves coffee. She's from a family of coffee farmers. They got their own coffee brand.
Wow.
She talks about coffee in her taunts. She talks about coffee before she fights. But when she ends, her victory pose is a coffee branding. Like, it's so weird. But
I mean, at least it's not cocaine. So, you know.
Well, I mean,
yeah, I guess it's that.
I'm glad to see that.
That's more Colombia.
Yeah. I'm glad to see the genres move on since the stereotyping of, I don't know, DJ from Street Fighter 2. Jesus. There's just, as Osena Milagros Otis Castillo, is that the lady in question?
Yeah, it could be.
That's who I fancy. She's just got
a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah.
Really fast, really good. Good replacement for, I think it was Kitty. I can't remember her name. The one that was like anime cat girl that everyone hated. Because she looked so kind of cutesy and silly, but she was so fast that I really liked that character. But that one's not in the roster this time. Probably get sold to me again, or probably left out because of the backlash about the character at the original announcement. But this one's a good replacement. But a lot of your favorites are there. You got your King 2, you got your Marshall Law, you got your Paul Phoenix and your Raven and Steve Fox and Yoshimitsu.
He looks like he's hit the ball.
Paul's lost his hair.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his big mohawk.
Gravity's Paul finally has, caught up with him.
It's not a mohawk, is
that's it?
It's a flat top.
It's like a flat column. Very tall, the original. He's
but
gone for the...
More.
An obelisk of hair, if you will.
In the early games, because he's blonde and has a red gi, they kind of changed the hair up to make it so kind of crazy because he was getting mistaken for Ken. And which made sense, although people still called him like Ken in the first game. And now they've done the thing with Ken where they keep changing his style up. And now they've changed his hair up. Like, now he's Ken. He's Ken. You can't stop it. He's Ken. But you can unlock... the Tekken 7 costumes are in there for any of the characters that crossed over. So you do still have the platform and the red gi and all that stuff. So
cool.
That is available. Yeah, recommend for me. Iffy on the DLC still. And... I don't think £70 is a good price to pay for any one-on-one fighter unless you're
Fair
like
enough.
An esports fighter and you're going to get that money back in sponsorships and winnings. But
in which case, you probably get it for free.
If you can find this for a good price, I recommend it.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm going to wait for the price to come down or wait for like a Game of the Year edition with all the DLC and then pick it up at that
point. They never do that. They very rarely do that. And with the last game, I think they had like 4 seasons of DLC, so they never actually put out a definitive edition until probably half a year ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was digital only, and that was PC.
Yeah, I just decided I can wait at the moment. I would like to put more time into Mortal Kombat 1 and Street Fighter, and I've still got plenty of play to get with both of those games, so I decided I didn't really need one, even though I really liked what I saw of it, and I think it looks like a good game. But as you say, £70 does seem a lot for that type of game and the amount of game time I'd get out of it at the moment.
Buy it physically, shop around. It's the best advice I can give you with these new games now. Never pay £70 for a game.
Nope.
Right.
I mean, the way I do it is I often buy credit and then buy on there. It seems to be the cheapest way.
I used to do that, but it was because I could find discounted credit. But over time, I'm getting better deals with the physical games than I am with buying the credit. So, and also, I don't trade them in, but that option's there if I need to, or I can lend them
while
out
you
if
still
I need
enjoy
to.
While you still can. I think.
Yeah.
Well. CEX is still available. Anyway, Tim, you've got a game that you've been reviewing, so we should probably talk about that.
Yeah.
Yes. I've got two games on. I'm going to cover
both of them. Oh, I
just realised
I didn't play any Tekken footage while we did that.
Hey! Yeah, no, you did not. I've got two games that I'm going to cover fairly quickly, one of which I did get a review copy for, BorderBots VR, but I'm going to cover it in a full review on a VRB episode that we're planning on recording this week. But
correct
I wanted to
answer.
Give it a little shout out. One, because spoilers, I really like the game. And two, like, it came out on PSVR, even though it's also out on Quest and Steam VR. But it came out on PSVR 2 today. There's also two other games coming out on PSVR 2 today. And I think, especially because Legendary Tales got announced on the State of Play a couple of weeks ago, and because Deadhook got a bit of pre-release buzz, I think both of those games may overshadow that one, this one a little bit. But I want to give this a bit of a shout out and a bit of love because I really enjoyed my time with this game. I think partly because it's not the shooters that I've been playing lots of at the moment and it's a bit different, but the mechanics are like very well suited to VR. It's a nicely designed game. It's very colourful and friendly and inviting. But it's basically, it's called BorderBots, and that's essentially, and I've heard a lot of people describe it as Papers, Please, yeah. But with robots. And that is semi-accurate. That's fair, I think, basically. It's a little bit reductive, and it does do enough of its own thing, and it's doesn't have as much social commentary in the kind of serious side of things, but it does a bit more in the comedic side of things. It's definitely more of a funny game, and it's definitely going for that.
I have a question.
Yep.
Are any robots smuggling cans of WD-40 up their butts?
No, but they will smuggle other things like knives and dynamite and books and other things. And
up their butts.
Basically, well, they have them in little compartments, and you can see these little things you have to inspect and prod open, and they'll pop open and they'll
just
show
like
what
when I went
item
on
is in that
Reykjavik.
Sort of thing. Exactly. But yeah, like, it's very much, like I said, the mechanics of the game are very good. The robots are like, well-humoured. There's two different environments, one where you're in your kind of booth where you're inspecting all the different robots and calling them up to your booth and having to check that they've got the right manufacturer seal and that they're not out of warranty and that they're not smuggling contraband and all these other things. And the rules change a little bit from day to day and there's different things going on and they mix up nicely. And that's all kind of well-paced and amusing and funny and good. And then on the flip side of that, when you're between each shift that you're doing, you also go back to your apartment and there's like a few robots there and you kind of interact with them and a few other things to interact with in the environment and things to buy and stuff. Like, the presentation's really good. There's, like, some 3D TV where they're doing news reports of what's going on, which kind of fleshes out the world a bit, and that's quite funny. There's, like, a thing that's being built outside your apartment that they're alluding to on the news, and there's a giant 3D printer that's kind of making that, like, instead of, like, a building crew type thing. But there's lots of, like, robotic in-jokes. Some of the jokes don't always land, but most of it's like just amusing and funny and good. And yeah, as I said, I've really enjoyed my time with it. I'm looking forward to playing through more of it. I have played a good few, about 3, maybe 4 hours, but I don't think I've finished Act 1 yet. And it seems like there's going to be 3 acts. So there's still a bit of it to go, basically. I'm going to try and plow on with that this weekend so I can do a full review on VRB next week. But yeah, really enjoyed it. It's a mechanically good game. It's an amusing game, and I've just enjoyed my time with it. Enjoyed my time with the world, and it's one of those games where I can't wait to get back into it. And I'm thinking about it when I'm not playing it and that type of stuff. So even though there's two potentially bigger games out today, I'm hoping this one doesn't get lost in the shuffle. Because as I said, I've really enjoyed my time with it. So yeah, that's BorderBots cool. VR. As I said. I did get a review code for it. It's out now on PSVR 2. It was $16.99 if you pre-ordered it, which I'm not sure if that's still available or not. Probably not by the time
I checked today.
I think it's got a week more on PlayStation,
yeah,
hasn't it?
So on PlayStation, you can get it for $16.99 if you're a PlayStation Plus subscriber.
Yeah,
right.
If you are on MetaQuest and you pre-order it, then you can get it for $16.99. But otherwise, it's $17.99 on all platforms. However, 19, on Steam Deck, 1999. On Steam, what are they called?
Steam VR.
That makes sense. On Steam VR, they haven't actually put the price up yet. So
So I'm not sure what it was on there. But I think even at £20, there's quite a bit of game there. And it's easy to recommend even at that price, basically. So even if you miss out on the discount, I still recommend it at that price, basically. Also, a game that I didn't pay for but have been playing came out day before yesterday, but I only played a little bit of it yesterday, is Foam Stars.
Oh, this is the thing that totally isn't Splatoon.
Definitely not Splatoon.
Sorry, Bob. No.
It is Square Enix's disco version of Splatoon. But there's actually, mechanically, it works a little bit differently. The two things that kind of in practice work a bit differently, because you've got a variety of weapons and stuff like that, but that kind of happens in Splatoon as well. There are differences in those, but they're not massively different. The thing that really sets it apart is that in this, the foam can be built up, and you can build it up in a like 3D manner, so it can actually, like, you can create blocks with it, and it will actually reshape the height of the environment, which wasn't really the case in Splatoon. But then also, when you literally can pull out a surfboard to surf quicker over your color of foam. And that was very similar to Splatoon. But in Splatoon, you actually became a squid and ducked into the ink and then traveled underneath the ink. Whereas this, you travel on the top of the surface, which isn't quite as useful because you're not disguised and you can't pop up on enemies as much. And it also seems that you don't move as quickly as I'd like. I don't know if there's characters that move quicker than others, and maybe I just haven't used them. But I would have thought it would have given you a bigger speed boost than it does from just walking. It doesn't seem to do that. But generally, though, like the structure of the game is structured around parties, as they call them, which are all different multiplayer events. There is some single player content in there where you can get used to each of the characters, and each character's got like three different levels where you're facing waves of, what do they call them? Foam monsters?
Gits.
It's not
foam
something.
Gits.
Foam
fish.
Somethings.
Foam fish.
King
of iron fish.
Iron fishes.
Let me check. I can check on the
microfiche.
Bubble beasties. That's it. I was thinking it was foam things, but bubble
name.
Beasties.
That is a terrible name.
Yeah, I know. It's
game.
Not good. Yeah,
me and you, Dan.
We probably should.
Yeah, let's do it.
Tim, wait, not involved, or it becomes VR.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
But there does seem to be differences through the characters, because they actually have like different weapons and then different special attacks and different super skills, basically, as they call them. I quite liked my time with it. There was a bit hit and miss. There isn't much to the single player content. It is a bit sparse. It's serviceable and okay.
It's designed around multiplayer, though, isn't it?
There is actually the ability to play those wave based things in co-op as well. And I haven't tried that out yet, so I don't know how much they differ from the single player variants. But yeah, they are very much just a training tool to get you used to the character and get used to their special attacks and stuff like that. Then I've only tried a couple of the modes, because you have to unlock them as you go. And yeah, the first mode, it was a rubber duck party, but I didn't open that one. I can't remember what the first mode was actually called.
Have you been hanging around the East Finchley branch of the Conservative Club again?
Yes. Oh, right.
Right.
Okay. There's three modes that I think are generally available at the moment. There's Smash the Star, Happy Bath Survival, and Rubber Duck Party. Now, I didn't play
Rubber
Duck Party.
Now, none of those, all of those sound like innuendos, I'm not going to lie.
Yes, they do. Smash the Star, which sounds bad. But that's actually quite good. I really quite like that. That was the mode that I got on with the most. That was the one played the most. But that is a 4-on-4 battle.
Right.
And what happens is you have a collective pool of lives. And every time, they're not lives because they're not kills. You get chilled, not killed, basically.
Right.
Rubber ducky. Oh, speaking of rubber duck, we can have a rubber duck pie between me and you, Coleman.
Yay. I've got a bat duck and Tim's got an Agent 47 duck.
I've got a little barcode on his back.
And Dan's got a goat.
You can't to our rubber duck party.
Well, I don't want to. I got my goat, all right?
To get back to the Smash the Star, it's 4-4. You've got a collective pool of chills, which are kills, basically, but a collective pool of lives for your team. Once you get to zero on that counter, your whoever the best player on your team is becomes your star player, and it's only when the star player gets eliminated that the other team win. That's quite good. There's a quite good back and forth there. It means that the strongest player needs to get eliminated. So it does, like, even if you have a slightly weaker team, if you've got one really strong player who's good at avoiding getting killed,
what happens if you're all equally terrible?
I found that out in the Happy Bath survival mode. So I'll come to that in a second. But the Smash the Star ones that I've played so far, I played like 2 or 3 rounds. And yeah, like, I enjoyed that. That was fun. Even when I lost, it was a good back and forth and it felt like I was contributing and being good. The advantage to that is that you can have multiples of the same character, whereas I thought that was a weakness to the Happy Bath survival mode, because once someone had picked a character, you couldn't pick that character. So the first time I went into that mode, someone else had picked the character I knew and the character I played in the practice mode, so the two characters I knew anything about, so I had to play a character I'd never played before and dive in with a multiplayer game with that being the case. So that was, it's less of a problem as you get through the game, but that was, if you've got your favored characters, that's not going to be as good. Also, the Happy Bar Survival is a 2-on-2. You've got 4 players per team, but it's a 2-on-2 mode where you have 2 characters going against 2 characters, and then your 2 other teammates are stood outside the arena shooting foam and other things into the arena so they can kind of assist in that way, but they can't actually get involved in the battle and they don't seem to do health damage.
I have no idea what you're on about.
So yeah, it was all a bit weird and I didn't like that mode as much.
Boring. Yeah,
to chill people or eliminate them, basically, you foam them up and then you surf into them and that kind of and hit them with your surfboard and that knocks them flying and that chills them.
So Tim, you didn't experience any FOMO in that by FOMO. Not playing that mode. No? FOMO.
Shut up!
But FOMO. It is free. Well, I say it's free. Free in inverted commas because it's free if you've got PlayStation Plus.
Okay.
So you can download it and try it out.
It's part of the PlayStation Plus monthly games, but at the moment, I think you have to have PlayStation Plus to get it. You can't buy it.
Yes, you can't buy it.
Which makes sense,
it's not
because
available for free.
You have to have PlayStation Plus to play online, and it's an online-only game, so that does make sense. Yeah.
So basically, if you've got PlayStation Plus, you are a big old dum-dum if you don't pick it up, because you're going to have to pay for exactly the same thing next month.
On the downside, though, the microtransactions are more macro than micro. They are
Tell me more.
Outrageous.
Why are they so outrageous?
Check out that wordplay.
For a costume for one character, $7.99.
Wow.
But don't worry, there is a bargain price where you can get a collection of costumes for multiple characters that's £38.
Jesus wept. Seriously?
Yeah. And then there's things like emotes and other like bits and bobs. There's like a dance for like £3 or £4 kind of idea.
Dude, I play Destiny. I'm immune to that particular.
But it just seems unreasonably priced. And there's also a season pass and... Again, most of that is all cosmetic, but...
Jesus.
It's one of those things where if I played the game and I played the game for a lot of hours, I don't mind giving them some money, but it's a bit of a weird thing for it to be a PlayStation Plus game with massive microtransactions. That just doesn't sit very well with
or
me,
as I believe you said, macro transactions.
What was the car combat game that you were really looking forward to when the PlayStation 5
launched?
They
ruined that with their payment model
that got
and stuff,
slapped
basically.
Onto well that was meant to be a full price game and that got slapped onto PlayStation Plus straight as a launch, and then they just bulked it out with microtransactions and it completely destroyed it.
And if
I
this
don't know
is
anyone's
their plan
playing that game,
and if this is their plan for how they're going to approach their live service games that they threw a lot of money behind, then it's a terrible idea, Sony. Back away from it even more than you've already backed away from it, please, because
no. Well, the thing is, it's that thing of, hey, if you're going to do a free-to-play game, then you want to launch it for free and then bulk it out of microtransactions. That way we know not to play it because it's a free game that's likely to be full of microtransactions. But yes, when you are putting it as part of our benefits that we pay for, it's quite annoying.
But it's annoying to have to talk about that when there is a good game at the heart of this, I think, basically. And I think they've come up with a good formula, enough that I probably will go back and
watch it out a little bit more. If you will.
Formula, yeah.
Thank you.
But the taking what they've taken from Splatoon and adding enough to it to make it its own thing, it's a very different attitude. And if you don't like my puns, oh my word, the amount of puns that they throw at you in this game, like, you're Incredibubble, is one that they throw at you twice in the tutorial. You're Incredibubble.
Credibubble. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I just want to point out, only Tim can have a review game and a free-to-play game that he's not played very much of and go, well, I'm not going to talk about the free-to-play game because I haven't played very much of it, and then speak longer than the review game, the legally obliged game that he has to talk
That's
about.
That's a preview that I'm going to review on VRB.
Oh,
so,
good.
You know.
So we get to, so you lucky people get to hear it
oh,
again.
Oh, so I, no, no, Dan, I have to hear it twice. I'm the guy who's editing it.
Yeah. Just fast forward it, mate.
It's just have all been, punishing Coleman.
Have you ever been tempted when Tim's speaking just to speed it up?
I do that anyway. I edit at 1.8
speed. Edits at speed up. Yeah. Yep. That's a top editing
it's
tip
genuinely,
from Coleman there.
It's genuinely funny to anyone that walks past me and can hear anything bleeding through my headphones.
Is that because you're just sat there going,
you know, Jeremy Clarkson sounds a bit high pitched.
Shut up.
Jeremy Clarkson. I downloaded loaded Foam Stars today because I finally got my PlayStation set back up. So
I shall download it, but I'll try and cram some in.
Private party, woo!
A private
just need
foam
one more
party.
For a full
foam
team.
Party.
Mm-hmm. Foam me up.
But yes, what with Foam Stars, there was that short stories or whatever it was called, the Silent Hill game that I've just installed. And
I hear that's quite terrible.
Oh, I want to try it. Tim was talking about it last week.
Yeah,
I wanted to try it.
It was all right.
I'm
not the best judge of those things, maybe, but...
No.
I did see some people criticize it.
I'm not even going to qualify that, no. I'm just going to say no.
I mean, the only thing I'd heard about it was the Sterling video, but I don't kind of... Like, yes. I think if Konami put out a good game, I don't think Sterling's going to give it much good reviews, considering that they've been bashing Konami for a straight decade.
I mean, it's currently tracking at a 57 on OpenCritic, put it that way.
Oh,
okay.
That's for a free game.
That's not too bad. 87. I have 100, right?
57.
57.
No?
Oh, 57.
Five.
It's average. Average.
Yeah, is it though?
We can associate with that. We're all pretty average. Dan is a captain of average.
Hi, everyone.
I want to try that. The Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo just came out. I want to try that. Helldivers, but I need to find three people to play that with. I've got Rick, but I don't know if anyone else would play that game.
No one's approached me.
The Mickey because I said about that, and no one wants to play that game. Me.
Apparently, don't pick it up on PC though. Helldivers, but yeah, it's apparently got Whale Dodge DRM in it. It's like got a DRM that's essentially a rootkit that adds a bunch of vulnerabilities to your PC, allegedly.
The thing you miss behind the scenes, Dan, is we much as we do with BRB UK, there's a VRB chat, and as I've taken over producing and editing on that show, I'm part of that chat. And Tim went in there and went, Kev, are you picking up Helldivers 2? I would like someone to play with. And Kev went, I'm not sure about it, but I only really want to play with Dan and Jamie anyway.
He didn't exactly say that. But your
that's how it read.
Yes.
That's suck how it read. And I was laughing my head off when I read that. I was like, suck it, hip. Burn! Nobody wants to play with Tim!
Changing the subject quickly, there was another free game that came out today that Sony just announced out of nowhere and looks really weird, and I've downloaded it because it looks interesting enough, but it's called Interaction Isn't Explicit. It's free to play. It's a weird, like, black and white cover shooter with TVs for heads and some weirdness going on.
Sounds
it
great.
Looks strange, but
whatever. Yeah. Sounds better again, than it's free. Foam Stars Fisting the Star or whatever the name
Fisting
of that.
The North Star.
There we go.
Tim lent me that Blu-ray a while ago.
Did he? Do you like it?
It's all right, actually.
Yeah.
So it's just a bit, it's a bit graphic when he goes,
they're not going to be able to walk for weeks after that.
I'm going to change the subject again. Also, note that the Mass Effect Remastered Collection currently £12 on PlayStation Plus.
Ooh, no, so yeah. I just bought that. Got you beat, Tim. I don't know if you saw this, Dan.
You don't have to beat me.
I think it was just before Christmas or just after Christmas. It was after, actually, I remember. Mass Effect Trilogy Remastered thing. Steam. £5.74.
Ooh, yes, that is
only problem, as far as I can see, because I wanted to install it on my Steam Deck. Unlike the console version, I don't know if it's the same on PlayStation, but on Xbox when I picked that up, you could install game by game.
Do you have to install the whole lot?
Steam,
in one go?
I think you have to install the whole lot, which is not great on Steam Deck.
No,
that is not good fun on your micro.
Especially, I might be right the first game.
I've only played the first game.
Oh, okay.
I want to play the second game.
Second game is one of my favorite games of all time, so you should do that.
You said that last time I said I finished the first game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Wow, this is great entertainment, chaps.
Yeah,
loving it.
We've been talking way too long. I very, very quickly on the news. I'm going to skip a bunch of the news we have this week, but. There was the big Disney conference that happens every year, and Disney made a big announcement that they are taking they bought a $1.5 billion stake in Epic Games.
It's a big stake.
Epic are going, yes, and if you remember there was a big Epic presentation a little while ago. They were showing off the new engine, and they were showing off all the new things that can happen in Fortnite and the development tools and all that kind of stuff. And it was the idea of taking everything that they do in Fortnite and spinning that off into different games and different experiences that aren't just necessarily Fortnite. And we've seen a few things since then, like the Holocaust Museum thing that they added to Fortnite a little while ago. And now there's going to be Disney Worlds that are added to it, which sound interesting in concept. It's going to be a while. They put out a teaser trailer for it, but it's
a whole new world.
It's not like a... Yeah, it's a thing that's built in Fortnite, but it's not necessarily you're going there to just do shooty shooty bang bang Fortnite things. It's all new games in the Fortnite engine.
Right.
As far as I understand that you play through Fortnite.
So you're not shotgunning Mickey Mouse and giving yourself nightmares, for example.
I doubt it. No, we've got Mortal Kombat mods for that as earlier today.
Yeah.
Which I have seen a few times now. But yeah, you've got your Marvels, your Pixar, you got your Avatar, you got Star Wars, all that kind of stuff in there. So and that's a lot of that stuff exists in there already, but
so Disney's quest to own all of entertainment continues is what you're saying.
Didn't Apple
People were saying for $1.5 billion they got a 5% stake in Epic.
Wow.
Yeah. But apparently, I guess it was part of the deal and they kind of wrote it into, but as part of their deal, that's how they get to build worlds in Epic. I don't entirely understand how that end of the business deal works, but yeah.
Well, so they're worth about $32 billion, apparently. So that sums on that work right. But aren't they owned by Tencent, ultimately?
I think they have a minority stake. I'm not sure they got a majority. So
well,
it might be, yeah.
A nice day to be Tim Sweeney and have all of the money.
Mm-hmm. Can Scrooge McDuck himself.
Money.
I mean, Disney have a few franchises that all of us seem to like, so I'm sure there's a reason to install Fortnite at some point for me.
I don't know. I just
I've installed Fortnite on every platform I've got, and I've yet to play it.
I'm not sure. I think I'm too old to understand it. I just got a feeling I'm just going to log into it and go, yeah, cool. Nice to see you here, Granddad. Well done. We're like, ooh, is this what you kids are playing these days?
Should we do it? Should we just play Fortnite one weekend?
No, let's do Foam Stars instead.
Actually play Fortnite. I'm still waiting for our Sea of Thieves weekend. I want like a proper Sea of Thieves go of it.
Okay.
A Sea of Thieves go of it.
A Sea of Thieves.
Well, they've got the Pirates of the Caribbean thing. They've got the Monkey Island thing. I've been waiting to play this stuff.
I'd be up for that sometime. Just not in the next couple of weeks.
Not in the a bit busy at the minute. Anywho, that's all the news that we have time to go through because we have run long today. So
super long.
I believe we've got some plugs.
We have got some plugs. Like telling people as you go to tpublic.com/store/brb. Guess what you should do? That's right, buy my face on it. Buy my face.
By
the likeness of my face. You can't buy my actual face. That is my face. I need my face for my day-to-day life. You can't have my face.
It's the same T-Public doesn't do masks because then people could actually buy your face.
No, they do face masks. You can have face masks for my face on it.
Face mask, but not like full, you know.
Well, no, bottom half of Dan's face.
I mean, you could do the bottom half of my face, or I'm sure we could commission the GIMP mask version, which has literally my face that you could put on your face. You could do that.
I like the beatings, though.
Mm, exactly, and that's why it's a
bring
GIMP
out
mask.
The Dan GIMP.
Give it to
mask.
Me. Yep, bring out the GIMP. But yes, tpublic.com/store/brb. No discount by putting in bring out the GIMP. Sadly, but you know you can just type that in and see what happens. I don't know. Anywho, that's it. tpublic.com/store/brb. Tim, Tuesday is happening once again. Will the madness ever end?
It, no, there'll always
no.
be a Tuesday.
There will always
there
be
is
a Tuesday.
Always a Tuesday.
Okay.
And each and every Tuesday, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday at the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington. This Tuesday is the second Tuesday of the month. That means it is our social deduction night, so we don't have a feature game like we do most other weeks, where you can win just by playing. But we are doing games of the very popular Blood and the Clock Tower. It's good fun. It's we got a couple of storytellers and a couple of storytellers in training as well, so we've got capabilities to do lots of people. It's a game that can do quite a lot of people at once. It's a bit like Werewolf. There's lots of people in the village, and there's one person who's like a demon or an imp that's like with their minions that are working to possibly kill everyone else in the village, and all the other villagers have got to work out who that person is. It's a really good fun game. It's definitely worth coming along and playing. If you've never played it before, we'll have entry level games. And if everyone that comes along has played it before, we might do some more experience games, and we have the opportunity to do both if needs be as well. It's a really fun one. It's proving very popular. That's why we keep on running it every week, and we'll be running it every second Tuesday of the month. If you'd like more details, you can check on the top left-hand corner of Big Red Barrel, where it's already updated. Or you can join the over 2,100 people in our meetup group. Search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com. Or just come along to the Loading Bar in Stoke Newington and join us on this ear Tuesday and every other Tuesday thereafter.
Tim will buy you 5 drinks if you're buying something with my face, if you wear something with my face on it.
I'll buy you a drink, not 5.
No, you said he definitely come. Didn't he say 5 drinks?
Definitely said that.
Yeah, definitely said that.
Also, Mr. John Brady came along once again to Tabletop Tuesday this week just gone, so it was nice to see him again. I can't guarantee a John Brady every week, but he does make semi-regular appearances now. So if you want to meet me or John Brady... possibly John Brady, then come along on a Tuesday. That's another reason to come along on a Tuesday, or not, as the
buy
case may
book.
Be. Buy his book. Buy Dan's face. Book.
What's that cat? No, the cat doesn't care.
No?
Well done, guys. Well to do. Well, to derail the show.
Sorry, my cat came in and started talking to me. I'm sorry. Anyway. That is probably...
Dynamite drop in money. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you've enjoyed this show, you must have weird tastes, but that's okay. We've got them too.
In all fairness, I'm trying to train my cat to earn me millions on the internet while I do bugger all every day, and it's not worked so far.
Do people want to meet my cat? Shall I do it? Have we got time to introduce people to my cat? Shall I do that?
Sure. Go on then.
Okay. I'll go get my cat.
You do while you do that, I'm going to read the plugs, okay?
Yeah, you do the things and I'll get my cat. Get the cat.
Okay. If you've Yep, there's a cat. All right, get your cats. Get your cats. All right.
Oh, I learned
We would sure appreciate if you've enjoyed the show somehow that has a bunch of cats on it, that you go over to whatever podcasting platform you're listening to us on and you give us a review. We do like a 5-star if that option is available. I mean, you can give us a bad review and just put a 5-star. That would be great also.
We will end you if you do that.
If you want to get involved in the show... No, don't end. Ranking and all that. Also, apparently algorithms are good. If you're watching this on YouTube, then you want to give us a like and a comment and a subscribe and all that kind of stuff, and it's meant to be good. Wait till the plugs are finished. I'm going to mute you two. Hold on. Very difficult.
Very difficult what? Oh.
Okay, I've muted you two. Right. What was I saying? Right, social media, that's right. You can get involved on social media. You can go, first of all, you can go over to BigRedBarrel.com. They're throwing me all out of line with these cats. You can go over to BigRedBarrel.com, and that's where our website is, and you can find the episodes posted on there. We have a Discord link there available where you can go to our Discord and ask us questions and give us feedback and stuff. You can find us on Facebook, X, and Threads at Big Red Barrel. And we are also available on YouTube at Big Red Barrel TV. If you leave us questions on either of those, we will read them. We will put them on our show and we will discuss them in length and probably throw them on a TikTok or an Instagram Reels or something like that. In YouTube Shorts.
My cat's got tail envy, Tim.
I didn't know you could unmute yourself. I don't like this.
I know how to click the buttons.
All right, I've done the plugs. We're not going through questions this week because time is short, unfortunately. We're just about to hit the hour of recording.
Now,
just cats. Okay, there you go. Here's your cats. Put your flipping cats up. Here's your cat music. What can we have for cat music? Borrow a feeling. There you go.
Yeah, my cat has decided he's not doing the internet today. He's like, nope, you've got me on camera twice. I'm not having any of it. The cat's on the internet's got a tail.
Just off camera. Just rotate that.
No, Tim, don't do it. No, don't do it.
You can't even work a microphone. Don't start moving cameras around.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, no.
Your cat's giving you a look going, you absolute twazzock. I will end you. Right, that's it. We're done with the show. Carl Mann's getting sad, so we're going to stop. but the good news is we'll be back next week, possibly with cats, possibly without cats. Who knows? Will the excitement ever start? No, probably not. Thank you for listening. We will be back next week. And all that really remains is for us to remind you that I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I didn't bring a cat.
And baby.
Boo! Get out.
Boo.
Boo. Boo-hoo-hoo. Bring a cat next time.
Yeah.
Bring cat. I think if you want Carmen to bring a cat, just spam Discord with bring a cat. I think is the most important thing you can do.
He doesn't like going up to the top floor.
No one's going to do that. Going up to the top floor. Jesus Christ, you live in a mansion?
Yes, I live in a mansion.
You live in a mansion.
That's why I had no room to record last time.
I mean, I didn't say you were living there with permission, in all fairness.
I live in Croft Manor.
Thank you for downloading us, and until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye. Keep on chatting.
listeners are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.